This is the Accounting Influencers Podcast
with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.
With Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.
Hey Rob, quick history lesson for you. Did you know that the first tax records were found etched on ancient clay tablets?
Yeah, I'd not realised how old you are, Martin, and clay tablets are great though, but they're not exactly compatible with the latest digital tax innovations like making tax digital, are they?
No, they're not. People weren't thinking future-proofing back then. But for our listeners, you know, if they're moving clients from similar old-school methods to digital records, there is a famously friendly accounting software solution for the UK's smallest businesses.
It's funny you should mention that. I was a judge at the recent Digital Accountancy Forum Awards, and that was a collection, Martin, of the great and the good in the accounting world, all the top networks, associations, alliances, some of the biggest vendors there. They were big on awards as well, and it just made me think Free Agent is who you're talking about, isn't it? And they've won a lot of awards for their integrations and platforms about being really easy to use. Clients can use it on mobile or tablet.
And not just the clay kind. Rob, where do accountants and bookkeepers go who really want to accelerate their client's journey to the cloud? What would you recommend they do?
I'd recommend they go and get a free trial at freeagent.com/tablet, because once you get into this, you experience it, you see how easy it is to use, you'll probably be a client for life. Welcome to this week's special guest. I'm thrilled to say we have back for a second time, and it's not everyone we get back for a second time. Randy Johnson, hello to you, sir.
Good day, Rob, and I guess we just couldn't speak fast enough on the first interview. I'm not sure what the deal is.
Well, we did have a few areas we wanted to cover, but it was clear once you got started, Randy, that there was a lot more you wanted to share with our audience, and why not? You've been in this game a long time, 45 years now. You're big in the CPE space. Continuing professional development and education for CPAs. You hail out of Hutchinson in Kansas. Let's just dive right into it, Randy. People can check out your bio in the show notes and on the previous episode that we did, where we talked about some of the critical areas for accountants and a little review of 2021. You're big in technology, Randy. We talked about last time how we cannot separate accounting from technology now. Tell us a bit about what technologies we should be watching out for as we come into a new year.
Well, Rob, there are myriad, and it is hard to believe how fast things are changing. But let's pick a few and make sure your listeners are aware of those. First, I'm just going to class a lot of them as emerging technologies. Now, I've taught emerging technologies for a long time, but the main ones that will affect the practice of accounting include robotic process automation, which are tools that will automate repetitive tasks. Artificial intelligence, those are tools that will look at patterns in the data and really be assistive, and that can get very strong. And then machine learning, which is a little more mechanical, which really look for patterns of the data and will make adjustments. Machine learning is kind of a subset of artificial intelligence, if you want to think of it that way. Now, I got to tell you, Rob, there are at least a dozen emerging technologies that we could talk about, but I'm going to pick on just those three because some of the other emerging technologies, for example, voice recognition or visual recognition, which are also emerging technologies, probably don't have as much applicability into the practice of accounting, but those three are big.
When you talk about automation, robotic processes, what kind of jobs did an accountant traditionally do that automation would negate?
Yes. So this one's, I think, pretty straightforward. Think of anything where you do repetitive steps and assume that the computer can do those repetitive steps for you. So if that means you're going to extract data from an accounting system and format it, if you're doing that by hand, robotic process automation can do those tasks. If you're going to submit things to websites, robotic process automation can do that task. So here in the US market, for example, submitting e-filing of tax returns has to be done separately to all the separate state sites. So there's the national filing, but there's also the state level filing. Well, most of those state level filings are done either with transmitting electronic files or websites. Think about keying all the information off of those tax returns in those sites. That can all be automated today with vendor offerings that are robotic process automation.
Could we go so far as to say, Randy, that the accountant will become extinct with a lot of these technologies on the horizon?
It's been said, in fact, The Economist reported that way and so forth, and I just politely disagree with that. You know, all you have to do is think back. You know, when spreadsheets came along, yes, the green sheets became extinct, but the processes remain the same. And the fact of the matter is, these tools really should just help us to do what we want to do. In fact, that's my rule of technology, is the tools should help us do whatever we want to do better and faster. otherwise, why bother with the tool? And all three of these emerging technologies can assist us to apply our knowledge better. But we still have to have accounting knowledge. To me, that's the trick.
And you mentioned the what we might call assistive technologies, the voice recognition, video recognition, bio recognition. Some accountants listening will be thinking, well, that's Star Trek, Randy. That's 22nd, 23rd century. But these are really happening now in CPA firms, aren't they?
They are absolutely happening today and have been happening for a while. So even like our interview today, Rob, we could run that against Zoom's voice recognition technology. We could run it against Otter.ai's voice recognition. Microsoft Teams has it as well. And when I used to sit in meetings, I would type notes to client file, if you will, or notes about the meeting. People were amazed because I was much like a court stenographer. I would capture every word in the conversation. Well, today, the tools can do exactly that for us. So every word can be captured. And we have now, if you will, a transcript available to us, if that's helpful. But that's an example of voice recognition. And it's so doggone good, it doesn't make a lot of mistakes. Now, your listeners listen to me know that I kind of speak like somebody from Kansas. I don't have eloquent use of the King's English, as they might say. But the fact of the matter is, it can even recognize my voice and get things right, which is amazing. And the same things happen with video recognition. We've seen it in pictures where facial recognition comes into play and so forth. And there are privacy and security issues that we have to worry about in those areas. And we have to protect clients and our own information from some of these technologies that are becoming so advanced.
And that goes into the world of language simultaneous translation. In the international world that we're in, the breaking down of countries and cultures, accountants working for international clients, you can use the voice stuff to deal in any language, predictably, presumably.
That is correct. And it's good enough now, it's in real time. You know, think about us, if you were conversing in Dutch and I was conversing in Spanish, and we could have a conversation and neither one of us ever know the other's languages.
Talk to us about the data technologies, Randy, and what's coming up.
Well, here, the data technologies are fascinating and superb. And there's four levels of data technologies that are out there. But the outcome of the fourth level is predictive analytics. Now, the idea here is that we can see what's happened with data and we can predict what's going to happen. You know, I've been around companies long enough that are using these technologies that we can absolutely forecast buyers' behaviors based on their previous experiences. So many around the world have used Amazon's technologies where they're making predictive recommendations. That's actually still fairly juvenile compared to what some of these things can and will be. Rob, you've got to really think about almost every industry has a variant of predictive analytics and application of data to forecast the future, if you will, or to make better recommendations.
You sometimes talk in your blogs and writings about pre-accounting and post-accounting tools. What do you mean by those, Randy?
Yes, in this case, Rob, think about assistance for gathering documents and extracting information. So in the old days, we might consider paper documents and, you know, scan those in and use optical character recognition. But today, both the artificial intelligence and machine learning pieces have been applied so well that this stuff is becoming fully automated. So there are, on the pre-accounting world, a number of tools by name, examples, Dext, Vic.ai, HubDoc, File This Fetch, and I could keep going, Sage Auto Entry. You know, there's actually quite a number of these at this point. So the fact of the matter is that that helps us gather all the data. And it really applies to my rule of thumb for accountants. If an accountant is keying data, there's a broken process. Now, on the back end, the post-accounting tools actually allow formatting of traditional reports. Here, you know, the traditional balance sheet, income statement, cash flow statements, and so forth. That's part of it. But also being able to do KPIs, dashboards, those types of things, and provide board-level ready reports.
Do accountants need to be geeks and nerds these days to make sense of all of this?
No. In fact, I'm going to go almost the other way. The tools are getting so much better that they may not even have as much knowledge as they maybe should have to process things. But I'm going to use a term that my colleague and associate Brian Tankersley came up to connect the tools together. We believe that we're going to have digital plumbers. So that sounds very much like a tradesman, doesn't it? And, you know, if you think about this, these are tools that connect these systems together. So that would be the likes of the Zapiers and the CDatas and the Boomies and the OneSASs. There's about 30 of them out there. We're going to have to know enough about the tools that we can connect System A and System B together. And we're probably going to have somebody on staff that can do that. Because contracting for that may not work out that well, and all those tools are improving as well.
This is great. Let's finish off this little section, Randy, by talking about the communication technologies that are here and on the horizon.
Well, this is such a breakthrough now. You know, I've used cell phones since the earliest of days when the cell phone fit in the trunk of my car without exaggeration. And, you know, there's so many of these that have occurred, but in cell phone technologies alone, the 5G technologies are starting to roll globally, and the high performance technology are allowing us to use 5G only and not have anything else. So during 2021, I converted a number of businesses and homes to run off of 5G only, no broadband, no wired connections whatsoever, and the speed was good enough. But along that same line, wireless technologies like the new Wi-Fi 6E for the first time will give us enough speed on wireless connections that I won't recommend wired connections. And the security will be there with a technology known as WPA3. Then last but not least, Rob, multiple vendors are competing with satellite technologies, and the satellites are pervasive around the world. Pretty much if there's a landmass, they're covered. Here in the U.S. market, I've used the SpaceX Starlink. The original equipment was $500. The speed is 300 megabits down and 50 megabits up with 48 millisecond delays. That's fast enough that we can do just about anything. And it covers 100% of the landmass of the US and almost every bit of Canada, but it covers the UK and Europe and so forth. It's not completely in service at this time, but where it's in service, it's phenomenal.
Well, that's amazing. That gives us a lovely insight into the technology ecosystem that serves the accounting profession. Let's track forward, Randy, to what's not evolving as quickly as it should have. We know the rapid rate of change in technology, but what, in your view, in the accounting sector hasn't evolved as quickly as it should have?
Yes, here there's many of these, so I'm not going to go on a long rant, but clearly accounting software itself has not evolved like it should. Small businesses need better support than they're getting from many of the systems today. The mid-market systems are somewhat antiquated, and the high-end systems are too. So all of the accounting software is a problem. The compliance software, tax and audit, it's also complex to write. Again, you know that I happen to be a computer coder, so I have that skill too, but I've been appalled at how slowly and poorly these systems have evolved. So it's really the routine operational systems on almost all fronts, point of sale systems, and we can go through pretty much everything. You know, Randy's rule of thumb on this is simple. If it's, is a piece of hardware, has an on-off switch, beeps, buzzes, flies through the air, is hardware, software. You know, all those things have evolved more slowly than I would like. As much as I've talked earlier in our session about how they've been quick, they are. There's a lot of new things. And what's happening is the programmers, designers, coders, they're going to the new generation items because those are attractive. The mundane things that still need done are not. Healthcare systems, construction systems. I mean, almost every system out there is so familiar. It looks the same way now that it did to me in the 70s. So here we're talking 50 years later and it's still the same bloody stuff. And yeah, I can understand it because, you know, it's kind of mundane. Do you want to go do something boring? Do you want to go do something exciting if you're a technology developer? Well, you're going to go do the exciting stuff. And the mundane to me, it can be made exciting and can be made simple and elegant. And that's the rule of thumb, is a lot of these systems are still clunky, as we would say. The Brits would say, niggles. There's lots of weird things in them.
Yeah, it's general workflow processes, isn't it, Randy?
Yeah, workflow is a key, Rob. And, you know, I thought workflows would be pretty much worked out in the first two decades. That are just behind us. They're not. The workflows are still so broken. And if you get workflow right, you can really help your team be far more effective with less resources.
Randy, I must ask you about the talent situation, the labor shortage. Forbes recently recorded the biggest talent deficit in the US, and I'm sure it's the same in the UK as well. We're entering some kind of a black hole. What, in your view, should be the hiring policy for accounting firms that they recognize talent is a challenge? They want to stand out, they want to grow, but they're struggling to get in the right people.
Yeah. And in fact, the turnover rate from firms that I have talked directly with the managing partners are the highest they've ever been at any point in my career. And just to give you the highest number, 54% turnover rate in one firm this past year.
Why is that?
Well, I've been trying to understand, as have the managing partners, but I think it's that people learned during the pandemic they could work from anywhere. They can continue to live in their home of choice. Most people don't know Hutchinson, Kansas, a small town in Kansas. Why the heck would you want to live here? Well, it's because all my family's here is the bottom line, and I'm not moving kind of no matter what. But today, I could work for almost anyone from anywhere. That's probably part of the issue here. But, you know, in terms of hiring, people are what provide great client service. People are the difference in these systems, not the technology. And the fact of the matter is, I refer to flyers as eagles, you know. So I have a rule of thumb. If you find a great person, which I call a diamond or an eagle, you hire them, even if you don't have a spot. You just make the decision and you go with it. And they will always more than pay for themselves, is the general rule of thumb. And, you know, I would say beyond that, it's probably wise for my public practice accounting friends to diversify. Historically, understand why we've hired, you know, CPAs or CAs around the world. That's an important credential. But firms need more than just accounting skills today. So like you asked earlier, you know, we're going to need digital plumbers. We're going to need data scientists. We're going to need data architects and so forth. But we also need workflow people like you just raised, people who specialize in processes, you know, and there are certifications like PMP for getting that done. So we have got to think beyond certifications and more into what do our clients need? And we need to hire the skills that satisfy the client needs.
Randy, this is excellent. Let's wrap up by asking you a topic that is very close to your heart, which is continued professional education, CPD, as we call it here in the UK. What can we do to improve our position as accounting professionals in staying on top of what is a rapidly moving feast of education and technological skills?
Well, here, Rob, again, it is near and dear to my heart. It comes from actually both of our backgrounds as being instructors in the past. But in my case, it is from wanting people to improve themselves. And again, I don't want to tell you what to do, but I would hope that you look at yourself and say, man, if I could do that, I would be better. So because of that, I think having a vision of what you want to learn about and then having a continuous learning program to get that job done. Now, that may mean over time you pick four or five or six different things throughout the time period. You know, the old stat was that people used to do seven careers in their lifetimes and they relearned for each one. And another old stat was it took about 10,000 hours to become an expert. So what is it that you want to learn about? And to me, this is well beyond those CPD, PD or CPE hours, meeting the requirements about ethics and tax and so forth. I understand the value of that. But what about learning something completely new that you've never touched before? So we suggest that you should expand your breadth of knowledge and your depth of knowledge. So, you know, it's really an ever-expanding view of the world. And I think what will happen, the more you learn, I believe you'll find that there's more to learn. And as you keep learning, all of a sudden it just gets broader and broader and broader. I actually respectfully disagree with the old PhD joke about, you know, you learn more and more about, you know, more and more until you learn absolutely everything about nothing. And, you know, no, I don't think that's the case. I think it's more and more and more, and you learn everything and you realize there's so much more to learn. It's almost infinite. So as an old math teacher, you'll appreciate the infinite.
Indeed. And we mentioned in a previous show with you that the importance of commercial acumen has never been more acute. This business awareness, this developing your skills beyond what you need to be more widely read in the business world. That's important.
It's super important. And again, I'm not trying to tell you you should learn about this or learn about that. But what I've learned for me, this is just me personally, I think I know less about technology today than when I was a younger version of me. You know, if I look back 30 or 40 years ago, I knew more of the percentage of the whole then than I do now because the field has expanded so much. Well, guess what? Accounting has expanded that much. So, you know, if I knew 80% of technology, which I probably did in that time frame, today I probably only know 30%. And that's really stunning to me. And it's, you know, frightening and challenging at the same time.
We'll put your email address in the show notes. You're really open to conversations with people. What kind of challenges or situations might there be and that would make them think, I need to have a conversation with Randy Johnston?
Many advisors to you today are not independent. They're in the business to sell you something.
You call this is the vendor agenda in some ways, isn't it?
The vendor agenda, what a great way to say it. And as it turns out, I don't know that the vendor always has your best interest in mind. So if there's a question about that, I would hope that I could raise above that because I have nothing to sell you. In fact, in many cases, I don't even want to sell you services. You know, people would say, oh, he's looking for consulting contracts. No, what I'm trying to do is make sure that you've thought through your needs and that you're aware of some of the best options that are out there and you pick one of those good options. It is so easy to be swayed into with thoughtful sales conversations into the wrong solution. And many of the solutions we're going to keep in place for 7 to 10 years. So what I'm trying to do is help you and your firm or you and your business get the right solution. So if there's a question in your mind and you just want an independent ear to listen to, that's a good time to call me.
That's very good. And we're talking here often about big capital investments, aren't we? As you said, that last for a long time, that get the legacy tentacles into your firm that you can't easily extricate from, that are locked in long term. So making good strategic decisions about technology purchases, that's what you're talking about.
That's exactly right. And I would just report sadly to you in the last 2 years, I've seen companies and firms invest multiple million dollars incorrectly. You know, one of my saddest ones to report is a group that spent $750,000 on an accounting software product that had no chance of working for them. So they called me and said, look, can you help us make that work? And I said, sadly, no. And worse, the product that would have fit you probably would have only cost you about $250,000 and you'd have been implemented and live by now. That's so routine and it just makes me hurt when I hear those conversations. But if we do that in advance, I can save you an awful lot of grief and effort. And I won't always be right, but I do have a pretty good record of hitting the ball correctly a good percentage of the time.
This is great. Randy, dust off that crystal ball. What's coming up for the accounting profession over the next few years? What's important in your eyes?
You're going to have to be in a position to change with the times. And you're going to experience an awful lot of change. So you need to be thoughtful about how you innovate. Vendors are going to have an agenda. I'll go back to the Rob words, the vendor agenda. Stuff they want to sell you and it'll sound good, but you need to be thoughtful about what works for your clients, what works for your team, what works for you, and look for products that fit that and not only products, but also strategies that fit that. And to do that, I think you're going to have to spend some time on yourself learning more. So again, I'll go back to our earlier conversation. This is about education and the long arc of learning rather than reactive training or just-in-time training that I see so many people doing. So, you know, we're going to have to really deal with people who we might think are digital natives that have come up to us young and are around a lot of technology, but you'd be surprised how our 20 and 30 year olds are not actually all that technically literate when it comes to technology. If we're assuming they are, we've probably made a wrong assumption.
Thank you so much for your candor and your inspiration today. That's been amazing.
It is such a pleasure to spend time with you and your listeners, and I'm glad that we could just talk about a few of these things. I look forward to speaking with you again soon, Rob.
This is the Accounting Influencers Podcast with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.
Martin, the Countex just gets bigger and bigger, doesn't it?
It does. And it's the biggest, I'd say biggest show in Europe. And I'm thinking maybe the biggest show in the world. What we know for sure is the one-stop shop for digital and in-person events. With the following it's built over the years, Countex packed a punch that's with events that are dedicated to both the accounting and finance professionals.
Yeah, and it's all CPD accredited as well. They've got a virtual summit coming up 10th, 11th of November, which is free to attend. And they've got some interesting topics coming up there, haven't they?
Digital assets, social mobility, future of cloud accounting, commercializing opportunities for NTD, penalty reform, not your normal lineup.
Yeah, and it's all ramping up to the big event they've got going on in London at the Excel Arena. It's the largest in Europe. And if you want your CPD points, if you want to find out what's happening, don't forget to book that in your diary for the 11th and 12th of May. And there's a website they can go to, Martin.
Yeah, accountex.co.uk, or indeed follow them on Twitter at @accountex. That's @accountex.